Blog Talk Radio.
Joe the plumber in Tent City, Mr. President, if I could ask you one simple question, is how could you make Timothy Guyton the head of the Treasury?
You know what, never mind, I get it. You don't even have to say, you're just a spokesman, right? Same snake, new face,
and the Hope for Change campaign. Seriously, that was clever, cause hope is just a word, and you're the best lie ever. That's 16 months and you start bringing him back, but you haven't, you've expanded, now you're trying to pass a draft. You said you cared about our families, but now it's clear to see that you don't give a fuck about us. All you care about is wealth, not peace, not dreams, certainly not me, but I don't see you as my chief. You're just a white-collar thief, another Tavistock production, trilateral connection, a Bilderberg commercial, and kissing just little messenger.
I heard you with Kennedy, yes, I'm thinking more like Mussolini with the youth brigades and Stasi. I just call him now, I see him, and say, yes, we can, yes, we can, yes, we can, what?
I just got one more question, hey, Obama, what are you taking?
He was a righteous man, the sort of people invite this man to make newer policies, the same laws they never will see. Just to support righteous men. Why did the people invite this man to make newer policies? Somebody help me please understand.
Yeah, a black man in a white place. Yo, the Uncle Tom of my space. Yeah, yo, I'm glad I went and said it. I'll say it and I'll say it loud. Yo, fuck the president. No sucker boo, this silly cat's trying to rob you.
Yo, say what? Yo, what you mean he trying to get us? An intelligent black man, I think you're jealous.
Yo, sucker, please go do your research. The Big New and Kissinger were his teachers.
Yo, why you gotta go and hate on a brother? You know that's what they want us to do to each other.
Yo, true that, but the truth takes precedence. All anyone can really do is weigh the evidence.
And if you can't see the Wall Street cronies claiming all the turf for themselves and they homies, then you about to get jacked for your home. When you out on the street and you can't get alone, and catch you thinking, would you do it again? Give your vote to a black man just because he said he was a righteous man.
The sort of people invite this man to make newer policies, the same laws you never will see. Just to support righteous man. Why did the people invite this man to make newer policies? Somebody help me please understand.
Oh, no, you're not a righteous man, no, no. Oh, no, you're not a righteous man, no.
All right. Today's date is September 9th, 2011 A.D., Washington, D.C., the United States of America, planet Earth, third planet from the sun. Hey, where to begin? I've been watching the news, as I'm sure you have as well. Obama's out on the stump. He's speaking. He's talking about this jobs bill. He's trying to put the pressure on the conservatives, on the Republicans, on the House, to pass this another stimulus or investment, if you will. He's really trying hard, too. He went out, I don't know. Either Obama's the idiot or he thinks he's talking to a bunch of idiots. Your humble host here is proud to admit that he is 49 years old. I'll be 50. January 1st, 2012. Obama goes out today, and he says that in his job plan, he says he spoke to a teacher who says that she teaches in a trailer. Mr. Obama, teachers have been teaching in trailers since I was in the third grade. What the hell was that all about? Teachers teach in trailers because of school overcrowding. There are too many students for that particular district in that particular school area because of population. They teach in trailers. There's nothing wrong with that. The trailers are heated, well lit, well furnished since the third grade. For a variety of reasons, not just overcrowding. There's nothing wrong with teaching a child in a trailer. But I think that he brought that trailer deal out to try to sell his plan. And you know what? Some of his plan has some merit to it. Just some of it, though. Not all of it. And I would hope that the Republicans would give a close look to Obama's plan. But only in the most rudimentary sense, that they would not spend $5 trillion. The dude is doubling down. That's what he's doing. He has the balls to say, hey, my plan didn't work the first time. You gave me nearly $1 trillion. I promised that unemployment wouldn't go up past 8%. Or I'd be a one-term president. Well, it didn't quite work out that way. And hey, shovel-ready projects, no, they weren't quite so shovel-ready. But hey, this time's going to be different. Give me $5 trillion or else. Or else I'll go out and tell everybody that you're not doing your job. I say the Republicans hold fast. Concede to just a few of the things that Obama wants, just a few, just enough to so he can't go out and say that you're being obstructionist, and then let the chips fall where they may. Because no matter what, it's already been established that throwing money at a situation like this, the unemployment situation, isn't helping. Millions upon millions upon millions of dollars have gone out. Federal agents just raided a business that Obama touted personally and gave millions of dollars to. The place has gone out of business. The money's gone. Disappeared. It's a mistake. Obama is a lunatic. Hell-bent on doing whatever it takes right now to be reelected president of the United States, and whatever it takes to ruin this country. Is the guy just simply insane? I mean, I'm trying to figure it out myself, and nobody's buying this. Nobody is buying this deal where Obama wants to spend more money. How about this, Mr. Obama? Leave the private sector alone. Leave it alone. Obama is manufacturing failure. Everywhere he goes, everything he touches, he simply doesn't know what he's doing. That's all. And addressing the nation by calling Congress together. What I need to understand, what I'd like to understand, is why this guy was even allowed to address Congress. He needs permission to do that from Congress. Couldn't they simply have denied him? Well, I think that probably would have been too much. President Obama is politically insane, according to the Washington Times. This is the real meaning of his speech Thursday night in front of a joint session of Congress. Albert Einstein defined insanity as doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. By that definition, Mr. Obama is a lunatic. Much of Obama's speech called for more of the same government activism, massive spending on infrastructure, bridges, and roads. We've seen it all before. Extending the payroll tax cut and more public aid to states and municipalities. In short, he seeks to perpetuate the dismal policies of Obamanomics. He's a reckless ideologue, masquerading as a pragmatist. We've seen this all before. Obama was given a blank check to stimulate the economy. The nearly $800 billion stimulus package just as he came into office. On these very same projects, new roads, bridges, schools, school children, school teachers, all of it. The money has gone nowhere. It's done nothing. And Obama joked that shovel-ready projects weren't so shovel-ready. So now he wants to do the same thing over again, all over again? Mr. Obama's presidency has been dominated by one seminal reality. It's called failure. His nearly $1 trillion stimulus, record budget deficits, unprecedented levels of public spending, the government bailouts of the auto, insurance, housing, banking, billions heaped on green jobs, and of course Obamacare. All have failed to restore the economy, all of them, in 3 years. In fact, they've done the opposite. Unemployment's at 9.1%. Growth is anemic. In August, not one new net job, not one. None. Consumer confidence is low. Inflation is rising. The value of the dollar is plummeting. Burdensome regulations are strangling businesses. America is being buried under a mountain of debt. For the first time in history, its credit rating has been downgraded. The country is not only on the verge of national bankruptcy, but economic and spiritual collapse. Any reasonable person would change course. Any reasonable person would change course. But not Mr. Obama. He's a big government liberal who worships at the altar of statism. The fact that we are broke and can no longer afford his borrow and spend policies doesn't mean anything to Obama, nothing. Like all fanatics, he is disconnected from reality. Contrary to the popular myth, liberalism is not politics committed to science or rational thought. It is a substitute religion, a secular philosophy, similar to Marxism, that seeks to replace Christianity and provide believers with an existential meaning. Hence, it has to be defended at all cost. Even in the face of irrefutable evidence and logic, Obama is not an anomaly among progressives. He's an anathema. He is anathema. They must share his stubbornness, progressives. Reassessment's not possible. If Mr. Obama truly were to tack to the center, it would represent a fatal admission of error, and the liberal faith would collapse. This is why left-wing Democrats were demanding that he defy the Tea Party. Defy the Tea Party and reality, all at the same time. Representative Maxine Waters, wearing that horrendous wig, out of the state of California, is urging Mr. Obama to pass another $1 trillion stimulus. New York Times columnist Paul Krugman argues that Obamanomics has not spent, borrowed, or taxed enough. The problem is not Keynesian liberalism, but the lack of sufficient zeal. In Bolshevik Russia, hardcore communists criticized Soviet leader Vladimir Lenin for not completely abolishing private property. They argued that it was Lenin's deviationism from Marxist orthodoxy, not central economic planning and state socialism, that explained the failure of the social system. For liberals, Mr. Obama is now the new Lenin. And yet, Mr. Obama, like Lenin, cannot escape the consequences of his disastrous policies and worldview. Whether it's $300 billion, $1 trillion, $10 trillion, no amount of stimulus or public spending will provide a long-term cure for the ailing economy. The reason is simple. Government does not and cannot create wealth. Only a vibrant, robust free market can do that. But why doesn't he understand it? Or does he? Folks, this is why liberals are now left with only two options. Lie about Mr. Obama's record or engage in dangerous demagoguery, which is what he's doing. He's opted for dangerous demagoguery. Democrat National Committee Chairwoman Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz is more of a cheap propagandist than a serious party spokesperson. Mrs. Wasserman Schultz insists that Mr. Obama's stimulus worked. The facts speak for themselves, she said. No, they do not. In 2009, Mr. Obama vowed that if the stimulus were passed, the jobless rate would remain under 8%. Under his tenure, America has lost more than 2 million private sector jobs. And Mrs. Wasserman Schultz is the equivalent of a Stalinist-era hack jabbering about the Soviet economic miracle. No one believes her, especially not the 2 million unemployed, if not more. Not even her staunchest supporters, not even Obama's staunchest supporters believe her. This leaves what we in Chicago, my hometown, call political gangsterism. For example, Teamsters President Jimmy Hoffa recently said that it's time for unions to declare war on Republicans and Tea Partiers. War. those sons of bitches. President Obama, this is your army, Mr. Hoffa thundered at a September 5 Labor Day rally in Detroit. Quote, we are ready to march. Let's take these SOBs out and give America back to an America where we belong. End quote. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Tough talk for a little dwarf. Tough talk for that little fat dwarf. Where is he marching to? Where is he marching to? It's all tough talk. Mr. Hoffa, talking about let's take these SOBs out. But forgive me for being crass or mean-spirited. But Mr. Hoffa, wasn't your father an SOB who got taken out? Is it appropriate for a man whose father is probably lying at the bottom of the Hudson River in a whole bunch of pieces in a 55-gallon drum? Should his son be talking about going out and taking SOBs out, even if we give him the benefit of the doubt and say, well, he's speaking metaphorically? You don't want to go around using that kind of language when your father disappeared one day and he hasn't been seen since. And the mob is accused of taking that SOB out. So I suppose Mr. Hoffa, in one way, knows all about taking SOBs out. Because daddy's not there anymore, is he, Mr. Hoffa? Daddy's gone. Taken out. So perhaps we should forgive Mr. Hoffa for those vile words. Maybe he really does know a little something about taking an SOB out. His words were reprehensible and could foment civil violence. Labor unions such as the Teamsters, well, they have a long history of street brawls and physically intimidating opponents. We've seen it in the news just recently. Labor men taking hostage innocent people. Oddly enough, no one's gone to jail yet for that. Once this kind of furor have been unleashed, it's difficult to contain it. The Democrat, well, their hypocrisy is staggering. For days and days and days following the Tucson shooting of Representative Gabby Giffords and a whole bunch of others, leading Democrats in the liberal media blame conservative talk radio, Sarah Palin, the weather, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Fox News, and a climate of hate and vitriolic language for the massacre. Even that moron, Danny Glover, got on national TV and talked about how we need to contain the vitriol, even though he completely pronounced the word so that it was almost non-intelligible. Where's Mr. Danny Glover now? Where's the White House now? Where are all those liberals now? Take the sons of bitches out? Mr. Obama even called for a new civility and tone, tacitly chasing his critics. Yet now that a key ally has called for blood to flow in the streets, the White House is silent. Folks, Mr. Obama is a man of the hard left. He deeply loathes everything America stands for. Capitalism, limited government, individual freedom, and Christian civilization in general, in particular. In particular, also, he despises our exceptionalism. This is why we've seen him kissing ass all over the world, bowing and scraping deep bows to heads of other states, and bashing America everywhere he goes. His stated goal is to create a post-American world. Those are his exact words. Where the United States is simply one of many countries. No bigger, no better, no stronger. He exhibits a form of madness, a self-loathing reminiscent of the late pop singer Amy Winehouse. Mr. Obama keeps injecting the heroin of class warfare and socialism into our national bloodstream. He can continue to play on the biggest stage and boast a big audience. In the end, however, it leads to the same disastrous result: insanity and death. Mr. Obama, for God's sake, come to your senses or step down. Those are the only two choices, because you're ruining this country from one end to the other. Now, there are those who say that Jimmy Carter was the worst president in the United States. Some even say George Bush was the worst president this country has ever produced. Folks, Obama tops them all. Every single one. Every one. We'll be right back after these messages. You're on with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Report. Calling numbers 347-884-8500.
My fellow Americans, I'm here to reveal my solution to the abysmal unemployment situation in this country. It's the all-new environmentally friendly Barack Obama Turbomatic Job Generator 6000. And now for a demonstration, I'd like to introduce chief designer, former game show host, and government job stimulating expert, Dr. Obadiah Easterbunny. So, doctor, let's create a job.
Glad to, Mr. President. All I have to do is dial in a few settings and hit this button and...
Doctor, that's not a job. That's a pile of shit.
Very sorry, Mr. President. I shall re-coordinate the calculations here and...
Dr. Easterbunny, while you're doing that, why don't you tell the people at home just how little of their tax dollars went into the Job Generator 6000?
Well, considering design, patents, materials, licensing, marketing, lobbying, construction, and underworld payoffs, just a hair over $3 trillion.
A mere drop in the bucket, considering just how effective it's going to be at putting Americans back to work.
As we shall demonstrate here...
Doctor, again, that is not a job. Just another pile of shit.
All right, well, I know it's a little late in the game, but what exactly is a job?
You don't know what a job is?
Of course not. I work for the government.
If you don't, then what the fuck for $3 trillion is that thing?
Oh, now look, you've upset it. Come back! He's not listening to me. Come back! Come back! Come back!
Shut the cameras off. Shut the cameras off.
This is Economic Jeopardy, where your elected officials jeopardize your future. Let's meet our contestants. From Nevada, the man who passes bills that he hasn't even read, Senator Harry Reid. His hobbies include hunting, blackjack, and blaming George Bush. From Ohio, the Speaker of the House, who's good at speaking about spending cuts, Representative John Boehner. Mr. Speaker. He enjoys a good smoke after dinner and being outdoors in the sunshine. And sitting in for President Obama is Prompton, the president's teleprompter. Inside Prompton are the components of the federal government that provide multiple redundancies, overlapping programs, leading to a low performance threshold. And now, here's your host of Economic Jeopardy, Alex Quebec.
In this exciting game, we've started the contestants at the same level as our national debt, negative 14 trillion, which is 92 trillion in yen. Today's topics are earmarks, entitlements, spending cuts, debt ceiling, and reducing $14 trillion debt. Speaker Boyardiner, what topic would you like to choose?
I don't think I have one off the top of my head.
Well, Speaker Bahouni, how about spending cuts?
Read my lips. We're going to cut spending.
We know there have to be cuts made, and we've made them.
We see, Senator Reid, that you've proposed reducing your $14 trillion debt to $13.99 billion. Okay, perhaps the president programmed his teleprompter to actually choose a topic.
I'll take Marriage Protection Act for $1,000, Dave.
That's not a topic, and my name's not Dave.
Childhood obesity for $300.
No, none of those are actually...
Democratic fundraisers for $1 million.
The Republicans have blocked everything. They do not want us to accomplish anything.
Say, Dave, can I keep the secret $105 billion from healthcare?
Hell no, you can't!
Contestants, please!
I'm not laughing because it's not funny.
So will none of these guys even try to solve our debt problem?
Hell yes, I can.
Promotional consideration provided by Pelosaroni, the San Francisco treat, a liberal supply of donkey wax. And one lucky contestant will go home with a golfer's dream vacation package. Economic Jeopardy was rendered before a digital audience.
The 9/11 Crusades.
The Crusades never ended for one religion.
One religion.
Islam has risen and fallen many times in its bloody history. The morning of Tuesday, September 11th, was a beautiful morning.
A beautiful morning.
And then, after the first plane struck the first tower, our lives were changed forever. As we watched in sheer horror, trying to wrap our minds around what had just happened, wondering how it could possibly be worse than this. All eyes in the world were watching as the second plane struck the second tower. That's when we knew how it could get worse. And then, reports of other planes that were unaccounted for. Where were they headed? The answers came as the events of the day unfolded. The 9/11 attacks were their attempt to rise to power after influencing and infiltrating for the past 90 years. WAAU Radio Network, in conjunction with several independent Blog Talk Radio hosts, presents a spectacular three-part series honoring the historic, heroic, and epic battle we face to rid our nation of the fanaticism that has plagued the entire world for centuries. This special will air on the 10th anniversary of 9/11, starting at 4 p.m. Eastern.
This 9/11 special will span 6 hours and 3 radio shows, all found on Blog Talk Radio. Look for Tesla's show named Socialism is Not an Option, the Hot Topic episode. The special co-host and contributor is Annie Abellis of the Blog Talk Radio show, Southern Sense. Next is Stay Mad Radio, hosted by me, David Graham. Joining me as my special co-host and contributor, host of his own show, still flying over the heartland, is Flyover Territory, a.k.a. Eric. And finishing up with Dr. C. Robert Jones, as he hosts his show called The Conservative Report. The three of us felt like doing something special to keep the memory alive and to rekindle the patriotism on display in the months and years that followed. This is sure to be a memorable occasion and a fitting memorial.
The 9/11 Crusades, Part 1, The Beginning. Tesla's Hot Topic episode will bring us through the lead-up to the events of 9/11. He'll look at how Islamic atrocities provoked the original Crusades. And why did they hate us in 1783? And
Thomas Jefferson read the Quran? Tesla will look at Bin Laden and Al-Qaeda and the history and origins of the Muslim Brotherhood. Part 1 airs September 11th, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern.
The 9/11 Crusades, Part 2, The Aftermath.
Tesla will pass the baton to me, David Graham, with Stingman Radio. We'll walk through what has happened since, with all the struggles of the family, the first responders. We'll talk about the controversy in the Ground Zero Mosque, and where we stand currently. There will also be an appearance of Haran Angel, to give us thoughts and feelings from the day of the event, from an Iranian point of view. Hour 2 will feature Charles Faddis, a recent guest on Stay Mad Radio, a retired CIA agent with his unique perspective. We'll talk about the wall of separation and the Clinton connection. Part 2 airs September 11th, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern.
The 9/11 Crusades, Part 3, The Reflection Forum.
Doc Jones' conservative report will continue the show to illustrate where all this is going. Doc will take you through his memory of the day, and then he will open his show reverently to any callers wishing to express their story, express their feelings on that day, and what their thoughts were. There will be historical facts laid out in the fashion that only Doc Jones can do. And of course, no shortage of opinions. Please make this your reverence forum to close out the 10th anniversary of 9/11. And part 3 airs September 11th, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern.
We hope you'll join us for any or all of these special shows to learn and remember with us. These episodes will all be in our archives. You can't be live with us. And we want this to be our contribution to the memory and reverence of the event. We sincerely thank you for supporting our special and hope it means as much to you as it does to us.
Never forget.
And we're back. David Graham, Tesla. David Graham, the author of Stay Mad, produced, directed, and wrote, produced, directed, their voices are on those spots. Those spots are so well done. Don't you agree? It's almost as if they were done by professionals. Those spots that you just heard were produced in David Graham's garage with Tesla throwing in his vocals from Jensen Beach, Florida. Wow. I dig it. Those guys are talented. I only wish that I could have gotten in there somehow with my own vocals so that I could claim credit for being a part of what those guys did. So, I know Sunday's a special day, not only because of 9/11, certainly because of the anniversary of 9/11, the commemorations, all the television programming that will be going on, all the news events, and all the stuff that's going to be happening in New York at Ground Zero on Sunday. Not to mention it's going to be football season. A lot of folks are going to be watching the game, or games, if you will. This year, the NFL Sunday Ticket is free if you have DirecTV. All you got to do is tune in. Usually it's around $200, $300. But if you have time, if you feel like taking the time, join us. Join me during my 8 o'clock hour. I'm not sure I'm going to do the whole 2 hours, but I'm going to try. It's going to be great. Tesla, Stay Mad, and me, 9/11, on Blog Talk Radio. Come in and dig it. Now, the AP had a very informative, interesting, and at times humorous article. Fact check. Obama's job plan paid for? It seems not, it goes on to state. It says, President Obama's promise Thursday that everything in his jobs plan will be paid for rests on highly iffy propositions. The article goes on to say it will only be paid for if a committee he cannot control does his bidding. Further, if Congress puts that into law, and if leaders in the future, the ones who will feel the fiscal pinch of his proposals, don't roll it back. Underscoring the gravity of the nation's high unemployment rate, Obama chose a joint session of Congress, normally reserved for a State of the Union speech, to lay out his proposals. But if the moment was extraordinary, the plan he presented was conventional Washington rhetoric. In one respect, it employs sleight of hand accounting. Of course, we know that's true. And look at some of Obama's claims and how they compare to the facts. Again, we're citing the Associated Press article called Fact Check. Obama's job plan paid for. Seems not. So, here we go. Essentially, Obama does not spell out exactly how he'll pay for the measures contained in his nearly $450 billion American Jobs Act, but said he would send his proposed specifics in a week to the new Congressional Super Committee, charged with finding budget savings. But let me ask you this. Isn't this Congress's job? What have we resorted to in this country of having a Congress within a Congress? Isn't that basically what this super committee is? A Congress within a Congress? Because it's Congress's job, all of Congress, every single representative, it's charged with budget activities, finding budget, the purse strings of this government, of this country, is controlled within Congress. So what we have here is a Congress operating within a Congress, a super committee, a super Congress. Why don't we just call it a super Congress or Congress within a Congress? Anyway, this super Congress is charged with finding budget savings. White House aides suggested that new deficit spending in the near term to try to promote job creation would be paid for in the future, the out years, in legislative jargon. But they did not specify what would be cut and what revenues they would use. First, basically, folks, this is a bunch of crap. This is stimulus 2 without calling it stimulus. Is anybody calling this guy out? There's no guarantee that the programs that clearly will increase annual deficits in the near term will be paid for at all, or in the long term, as the article states. Obama, everything in here is the kind of proposal that's been supported by both Democrat and Republicans, including many who sit here tonight, he said. That's a quote, by the way. The facts? Obama proposed cuts in the Social Security payroll tax. Those proposed cuts do not seem likely to garner sufficient GOP support. But Obama proposes paying for the plan in part with tax increases that have already generated stiff Republican opposition. For instance, Obama makes a pitch anew to end Bush-era tax cuts for the wealthiest American, which he has defined as couples earning over $250,000 a year or individuals earning over $200,000 a year. Republicans have adamantly blocked what they view as new taxes. As recently as last month, House Republicans refused to go along with any deal to raise the government's borrowing authority that included new revenues or taxes. So that's not going to work. Next, Obama. It would not add to the deficit. How many times have we heard that lie? Didn't we hear that lie, that outright lie, that outright falsehood, fallacy, just plain old lie from Obama with regard to his disastrous health care law? We've heard it all before. It will not add to the deficit, right up until the time where it adds to the deficit. Tell me, are we falling for the same old bull again? Are we? I mean, are you kidding? Let's go along with the facts. And the facts are these. It's hard to see how the program would not raise the deficit over the next year or two, because most of the envisioned spending cuts and tax increases are designed to come later rather than now, when they could jeopardize this fragile recovery, which in my mind isn't a recovery at all. No new jobs created in the month of August. Is that what we call a recovery nowadays? Deficits are calculated for individual years. The accumulation of years of deficit spending has produced a national debt headed toward $15 trillion. Perhaps Obama meant to say that in the long run, his hoped for programs would not further increase the national debt, not annual deficits. But we've seen it all before. This guy's tried this very same thing already. Nearly $1 trillion spent. Most of the money either not even put out or wasted. If Obama can admit that shovel-ready projects weren't as shovel-ready as he thought, and then chuckle about it, like the candy ass he is, then what's to think that all of these proposed shovel-ready projects will be shovel-ready this time? Last but not least, the American Job Act answers the urgent need to create jobs right away. Bullshit. Excuse me. Oh, something stuck in my throat. I'm sorry. The facts. Not all the president's major proposals are likely to yield quick job growth if adopted. One is to set up a national infrastructure bank to raise private capital for roads, rails, bridges, airports, and waterways. Even supporters of such a bank doubt it could have much impact on jobs or anything else in the next 2 years, because it takes time to set up. The idea is likely to run into opposition from a lot of Republicans who say such a bank would give the federal government too much power. They'd rather divide money among existing state infrastructure banks. Folks, Obama is selling us yet another bill of goods. Well, that's all. It's another sleight of hand. And what he's doing is what he accused Republicans of doing just a couple of months ago, and that is holding America hostage, holding the Congress hostage by making outrageous demands, kind of like a bank robber who asked for $1 million in dimes and a G5 to fly it out with, and two pizzas, Chicago style, deep dish. And a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader. All at the same time, knowing he's not going to get much of that. And then decides he's going to shoot a hostage because he didn't get his $1 million in dimes in the 15 minutes he asked for it, plus the G5 or the Dallas Cowboy cheerleader. And he didn't get two deep dish pizzas. He got one flatbread and one deep dish. So now he's got to kill a hostage. This is what Obama's doing right now. He's going out to the countryside, knowing that these demands are outrageous and that he's not going to get his way. No way in hell the Congress is going to go along with most of this crap. So now his real job, his real goal is to make Congress look bad. And then come re-election time, blame his failures once again on someone else, Congress. The dude is, how many times have you and I seen it? Where the guy who sucks all to be damned, the incompetent boob, doesn't take responsibility because he's a dunce. He blames someone else. Obama is a neophyte. Obama has no idea what he's doing. Some would argue that he knows exactly what he's doing, but I say he's incompetent. And the dangerous part about this guy is that he's arrogant and incompetent all at the same time. He won't take responsibility. He is not a leader. He is the leader of the free world in name only. He refuses to take responsibility for even putting on his own socks in the morning, I suspect. So now he has failed. He has failed as president of the United States. He knows it. So the only thing left now is to deflect blame. He's got to find somebody to blame. Somebody's going to have to take the fall for this. Who's my stooge? Who's going to be my bitch? Oh, I see. John Boehner. All of the Republican Congress. That's who's going to take the blame for my incompetence. That's who's going to take the blame for me spending nearly $1 trillion and having absolutely nothing to show for it. Somebody's got to take the fall for this, and it's not going to be me, says Mr. Obama. So now he's given the speech in front of all of Congress, setting them all up like stooges. They were all there smiling and grinning and clapping, standing ovation. A bunch of stooges. Obama played it brilliantly, if not stupidly. Try that. Now, today, I guess he got up at 3, 4 in the morning, all excited because his plan is working. His plans are in play. So now he's out touring the nation and saying that if Congress does not pass his outrageous demands, it's not his fault. It's their fault. It's always somebody else's fault. That's just the way it is. Somebody's got to take the blame for this. Obama's not going to take the blame. Now, folks, I want to thank you guys for coming in. I do appreciate it. There are plenty of things you could be doing. You come into the show, you listen. I so appreciate it. You support the show. Sarge, Republican Marine, Pendleton Marines, Patriot Greg, Ned King, my girl Karen, Beach Bum. Thank you all for being here. I do appreciate it, really. God bless you. God bless America. Hey, Tesla's show is coming right up. I say listen in. You do what you want, but I say listen in. Let's go see what Tesla's doing. Let's see what Tesla's talking about tonight. You guys are great. Thank you so much for being here. Tesla's show is coming right up. Good night, everybody. Have a great weekend. Oh, and don't forget our special Sunday. 4 to 10. Good night. I'm just